figured I'd mention that tonight we take a look at the book of Hebrews in the New Testament in reference to how they look back to the prophet's words and the teachings that were done there. We're going to go kind of in reverse order. Hebrews chapter 10, we want to start with that tonight. Notice that in Hebrews chapter 10, reference is being made to the time of atonement and animal sacrifices being offered for the people to have their sins forgiven. Now notice in connection with this, this was done each year. And the point is being made here that Christ is better. He is better because his one sacrifice of himself and the shedding completely of his dedicated blood made possible the remission of sins of all people of this Christian dispensation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Now you see the direct idea of that and the repetitiveness of their offering animal sacrifices. And the Hebrew people as they did that, the Jews as they did that, found themselves having that remission of sins for a year. The comment is made sometimes in reference to a statement made earlier in the 9th chapter and in combination with the 10th chapter that the sins were rolled forward and in essence forgiven for a year, held on to for a year is a better expression because you see at the end of that year they had to make a sacrifice again for the previous sins that had been done and for that year added on. The following year, they were to make their animal sacrifice for the years prior and that present year. They were never really free. It led the Apostle Paul to write in Romans chapter 7, in reference to this matter, beginning verse 10, that in fact he was wearied by the continually offering of animal sacrifices. Oh wretched, he goes on to say, as he goes on through that 7th chapter, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? He looked at it as a constant reminder of death. Just death. I thank my God, he answers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, I have that deliverance. I've been delivered from death to life, to hope beyond the grave. I've been delivered for a real future. And that's what the Hebrew writer here is noting. Once purging is done, complete, then that person is made complete in the sight of God. But they never with those sacrifices could find themselves complete in the sight of God. It took the coming of the blood of Christ. He goes on to say, verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. When the word no is used in reference to contrast to other expressions, the linguist students of this say that you can properly translate that no real pleasure. He did have a joy in the fact that they had pushed their sins forward for a year, that they had been forgiven for a year, that it wouldn't be brought back to their attention for a year. But the ultimate pleasure was held only in Christ as he came. Well, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. That is, never fully, completely take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He sat down, anticipating that the will of the Heavenly Father would be carried out in all the other activities, and that ultimately sinful mankind would be rejected, and faithful men and women would be rewarded with glory. And Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father, anticipating, expecting, till that be the case, till all his foes have become his footstool, as it were. So that's what Jesus did for us. That's a wonderful thing out of Hebrews in chapter 10. Would you turn with me back to chapter 7? Hebrews 7, and now in verse number 5. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he who descend is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received the tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that any priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now in Hebrews 7:7 and at verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change of the law. For he of whom these things were spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. That Christ Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek, in whom it is stated that there was no real heritage given. The heritage for Melchizedek was not important. He was representing the spiritual entity of God's blessing to mankind. It did not come through the carnal. It did not come through the family lineage name. It came because of his relationship with God the Heavenly Father. Now, as God the Heavenly Father so blessed Melchizedek, and then blessed Abraham, and Abraham looked back and paid tithes to Melchizedek, so it is that in Levi, he being unborn at that time, yet he was going to be, he was in the loins of, the idea was he would be a descendant of Abraham. Earthly tithes were being given. But here is the point. The Levitical priesthood was in authority. But since there is a change in this priesthood, there is a change in the law. Zechariah 6, had predicted that there would come about the kingly tribe and the priesthood, and that that change would take place. Christ Jesus is the one of whom Zechariah was predicting to become the priest. But he can't be priest here on earth, because here on earth God had already identified back in Numbers in chapter 3 and verse 8 and in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. You'll read a little more detail about that. Jesus Christ fulfilled the new priesthood. A change of the law was going to occur, because his priesthood would be a heavenly one, above the earth, over all the earth, not one limited here on earth, as was the Levitical priesthood. Now, for you and me today, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14, here is the significant point for us to be made. This is why we do not play mechanical instruments of music as we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, as we read in Ephesians 5 and 19. This is why we do not add candle lighting to our prayers, thinking that the light of the candle and the incense will reach up to God where our words do not. We do not add other people as intermediaries to our prayers. There is no priest, there is no mother that goes between us and Christ Jesus. We pray through the Lord to the Heavenly Father. Why do we do that? Because in Hebrews 7 and verse 14 it says, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." When you go back to Numbers, you go back to Deuteronomy, and in reference to Moses and his time, you won't find where he says, "Now the tribe of Levi is to be the priestly tribe, and not the tribe of Judah, not the tribe of Issachar, not the tribe of Dan, not the tribe of Naphtali, not the tribe of Simeon." He did not do that. This is specific. The offering was to be done by the family of Levi, the priestly tribe. Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. And being from the tribe of Judah, there was a change in the law that allowed him to be. The New Testament is a change from the Old Testament. Allowed him to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The idea of his priesthood, he is the only one who's ever qualified to be after the order of Melchizedek. And we're thankful for him and for his word. When we add to God's word today, in things that the Lord has specified, we add other foods to the Lord's Supper. The brethren at Corinth did that. And in 1 Corinthians 11, they were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls when they did that. They added other foods to it. Did not recognize the distinction of the Lord's body and blood. They mixed it with other foods and they had a popular feast. They were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. Because of that understanding, we would make application to our singing to be just singing, to our praying to be just praying, to our preaching to be just the Word of God, not a social message, and not a message just of man's ideals and ideologies. We would find ourselves doing the will of God. Is such a significant thing to these events that took place. I wanted to bring highlight to the redemptive story of Christ in Hebrews 10 and the fact of his priesthood in Hebrews 7:14. To our ears tonight, to our study, Paul writes, "There is no difference in the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him." The same Lord over all. He's rich unto all.